Hey everyone, welcome. It's Stunker on the Audio 304. Yes, a very rare sighting for a Friday / weekend show. This is Jeremy, and joining me this time is not Chris, it's not Kevin, Dusty, or Eric, but my cohort from We Watch Stuff, Shahid. What's going on, man?
Oh, it's a rare edition of Stunt Granny with me jumping in, and I have an official Stunt Granny headset. I guess I'm an official nerd now.
Yeah, we're gonna work on your mic skills, so your voice is gonna be different. So we could have actually called you by a different name, and no one would have been.
It's new Stunt Granny associate Sean Hill.
Yeah, or just Bob, just something nice. But as much as you know, we could goof around. There's so much that happened this week in the world of wrestling that you know. All of our different schedules prevented us from doing much about it during the week, so we figured, why not get on here and actually talk some of this out? I don't know. Do you want to start with the big news, small news, medium news?
Well, I'll start with the most recent news. Yeah. They announced some of Brock Lesnar's appearances for the coming summertime, and one is his first house show appearance in 13 years, July 4th in Japan, against Kofi Kingston. Of all people.
Why Kofi Kingston? I saw that as well, and I did not understand.
If you're gonna joke when I first saw, like, is this some kayfabe news thing and, like, you know, some onion thing I'm just missing? But no, I saw it on WWE's website. I saw it on The Observer. I'm like, oh, so this is real.
Okay, so it really. I didn't go to WWE's site, but that is real though. That is not like an onion sort of thing, or
oh, it's real.
Wow, how does Kofi pull that duty and not Xavier Woods, or I'm trying to think Zack Ryder's and really nobody. So that's just trying to think
anybody
of
else.
Yeah,
I mean,
just somebody.
You think, like, out of names you would think you want to have somebody that could put on a good match that wouldn't lose. I mean, actually, it's a Japanese house show, so it doesn't matter if you win or lose. If it's not Seth Rollins, who cares who he beats? But I could have named about 15 to 20 people before I would have thought about Kofi Kingston.
And it's such a styles clash, too. I mean, Kofi's sloppy as hell. So, I mean, I guess Brock could keep him under control, I suppose. So they maybe not worry about him hurting. But I really saw that and just thought, what a strange thing to have happen. And that's his first date is Japan, right? That is literally the first house show?
Oh, well, that's his first house show. He's gonna be on some pay-per-views. Yeah. I think he might be on some pay-per-views in June. But July is like, they're going to have a Japanese tour over in July, beginning of July.
Oh, yeah,
gonna have a house match there.
Yeah, because I did see the news that you know Lesnar's coming back for Battleground, which is what that's June, right? I believe Battleground's June.
I think so.
Let me see.
Elimination Chamber is
Sunday.
Yeah, and then Money in the Bank is next. So I would guess Battleground be Money in the Bank.
Battleground is July 19th. So
okay.
I guess Kofi's his warm up, which. That's a hell of a warm-up. I don't know. I just had, like, the whole booking process go through my head of why he would be...
I know New Day is, like, a thing now, but that's still just out the damn blue. Like, Kofi Kingston...
Part of me was hoping that he would come back and New Day would interrupt him and just be like, you know, don't be negative, be positive and all that stuff. And he basically just feuds with the three of them until August. I mean, he could start with Xavier, go through Kofi, and then get to Big E. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Big E and Brock may be pretty fun to watch, as long as Big E doesn't talk or dance. Just shows up in the ring. Don't even introduce him. Just have him standing in the ring. That's it.
Well, that's genie been out the box. They've been talking. I don't know. It seems like they have plans for New Day, a tag team division. I don't think they would just feed him up to Brock Lesnar. If this was like maybe a month and a half ago, then yeah, I can see that easy.
True. Well, also with New Day, they actually were lapdogs for the Authority on SmackDown, which I didn't see coming. They've been kind of in their own world, and now they're, you know, interacting with Triple H and Kane, Seth Rollins. Like, wait a minute, the shucking and jiving guys are now, like, in the main event? I mean, I know they didn't wrestle, but wait, no, they were just stooges, right? I'm basing all that off of reading.
At SmackDown, I was at the movies, so.
Yes, well, if we have time, we can talk about that, too.
Yeah.
But, I'm whizzing through SmackDown as we do this. I just wanted to get to the bullet points of it, and, you know, from what I read. But no, I think it's strange that New Day all of a sudden is interacting with the top heel faction in any capacity. Because, I mean, New Day's a detestable group. Like, until they finally turned them heel, you know, regardless of what some may think, they were supposed to be faces to begin with, but the crowd even knew that was, you know, the crowd just dumped on it as soon as they showed up.
Yeah, they should. It's just funny just seeing how, not only since they've turned heel, like, how far they've gone. Like, I was joking with you, we were watching Raw, and they were showing a commercial for Elimination Chamber, and it was centered around New Day in a tag match. So I was like, yeah. I can't remember the last time I've seen, like, a pay-per-view commercial with, you know, centered around tag teams. I think maybe when Jericho and Big Show against
Jericho.
Somebody. Like, yeah, Jericho, maybe something like a SummerSlam.
Yeah, because they took on DX, yeah.
Yeah, but other than that, it's like, no, they're giving them time, and they're getting, like, multiple segments on multiple shows, and them being these obnoxious heels just works.
Yeah, well, yeah, now that they're really over the top, it works a lot better. But before, when they were genuinely just ignoring the crowd reaction and doing the, you know, the clap, New Day, and all that stuff, just, oh, boy. I mean, I guess it's gotten far enough away that or maybe we've just gotten used to it. To where the act's like, yeah, they're hateable, okay, whatever.
I mean, it was just funny seeing how oblivious they were trying to act. Like, the clap was setting up for that chant. The chant knew they sucks. They just kept doing it over and over again. It's like, okay, either they're doing this on purpose or somebody's just really stupid. Like, you gotta know how this is coming across.
Yeah. Well, which I'm glad you mentioned that part, because I saw on, I think it was Gerwick.net, but Big E on his Twitter account made mention that they hear that a lot of children are cold and are chanting New Day socks, so that WWE is ordering New Day socks for sale. I don't know, like, obviously there's sarcasm there, but at the same time, that's kind of a funny idea.
Why not? I mean, it is funny. Like, Big E's Twitter, if he was half as entertaining as his Twitter feed was, be in a completely different spot in that company. But yeah, it's the whole situation is just hilarious, just seeing that.
Alright, I had this worked out, but if they actually made a pair of New Day socks, wouldn't that have such a niche audience? Like, you know, people buy bad stuff on purpose. I actually think they could make money off of that.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be some, because there's going to be some smart hockey fans that buy. It's hilarious now that they have more people dancing around for them as their heels than they were as baby faces. I was watching Monday, and I watched when it was coming out. And, yeah, it wasn't a lot, but it was quite a few people that, I don't know if they was being funny, you know, like, I just like cheering for heels type thing. They were doing that goofy dance and clapping and everything like that. It's like, I'm a fan of New Day now that they're heels.
Yeah, now that I'm not supposed to cheer for him, I'm going to cheer for him, which is pretty much what crowds do anyways. But, so there's that. You know, it's got to be mentioned. I guess we'll stick with this before we get to the big news, because it's kind of, you know, news keeps breaking. But one thing I wanted to mention was this whole Kevin Owens thing. Now, I don't know how busy you were today if you read, but he actually now has signed a main roster deal.
I saw that.
Okay. So he's a main roster guy, and he's an NXT guy, so he'll remain champion for a while. This guy's barely been there a year. It's only, I think, 3 weeks. He's been there 55 weeks, so a year and 3 weeks. He debuts in February. I think it was February, right? I might have got my date wrong on that.
It was around that time.
Yeah.
Probably January, February. He hasn't been there that long, like wrestling that long.
No. I mean, he debuts by, you know, just walking out. Has his first match, he wins the NXT title.
Second match.
Was
he had a match to show. He had a match to show Zayn won the title.
That's right. That's yeah. right. So, like, well, his first special yeah. match, I guess. You know, first attempt at the title, if you want to put it that way. But yeah, he wins it, has that feud with Alex Riley that is on NXT television, I guess, because even the specials are on television, but beats Sami Zayn again. He's set up for a feud with Finn Balor, and then out of the blue, before even beating Sami Zayn on the NXT TakeOver special, he's bad-mouthing John Cena, gets the upper hand on John Cena, obliterates Sami Zayn again, gets in a stare down with Samoa Joe like 2 days later.
Has a pay-per-view match with John Cena.
Yeah. Well, no, but even going to last Monday, he has another. You know, he one-ups John Cena again. SmackDown, he gets an interview segment. Now he's got an Elimination Chamber match, and now he's a main roster guy. Has anybody, I mean, outside of like the Attitude Era, when guys were jumping ship left and right,
anybody move this fast? I mean, this high, this fast. The last guy to do was Brock Lesnar. I'm trying to think. That's it, because everybody else gets the whole. And since then, people don't get pushed like that because they don't.
No.
Trying to avoid that. Like, we don't want what happened with Brock Lesnar to happen again. So even if it was somebody like high up, it was kind of like, you know, we're gonna push them slow. Like, even I would guess, yeah, like, I would say like Brock Lesnar, Kurt Angle. But other than that, it's not.
Well, that, but see, even that I consider the Attitude stuff.
Yeah, but like post Attitude, no.
And it's remarkable because he doesn't fit the mold at all.
I'm about to bring that up. Like, I know there's been talk about that on both sides, and like UFC's done a good job saying you can look like Roy Nelson, be a badass, and you can look like, you know, Chicago, Alistair Overeem, and that don't mean you're going to be like the best fighter. But that has the advantage of like they're really fighting. WWE's wrestling and WWE's always been the thing. Like, you know, if you see a guy like that, clown him. And they've treated him seriously since he's come in from Jump Street. Like, John Cena, 5 years ago, you would expect John Cena to come in and crack some jokes. Like, who's this slob with his shirt on looking like a hobo? You didn't hear any of that. You treated him like he was a big deal, and he got over him twice. I know it's like mid-card John Cena now, but it's still John Cena.
Yeah, and that's, I was having that discussion with Kevin, saying I'm just, you know, waiting for the fat jokes to start. And just to, like, point out his weight and all that. And yeah, you're exactly right. They've totally gone away from that. And I think to John Cena's credit as well, because, you know, you have to realize, or you have to figure that John Cena's got a definite hand in the booking of his own character by now. So he very well could have said, you little tubby mess of nothing, who are you? Do you come out here in a t-shirt and shorts? I'm supposed to take you seriously? But no, but instead, you're exactly right. He just comes out and, you know, he kind of talked down to him, which is acceptable in that case. Because,
but
yeah.
Not, he didn't talk down to him like, who's this fat slob? He talked down like, you know, you're this NXT rookie.
Right.
Like, I know you're a big deal in NXT, but I'm John damn Cena.
Yeah.
But it didn't have anything to do with, like, how he's built. And I'll give WWE credit with this. I think, one, Triple H is definitely probably a big fan of his, because otherwise he wouldn't be getting this far this fast. And not only does it help Kevin Owens, it helps Samoa Joe, because if crowds can get behind an idea like somebody built like Kevin Owens could be a badass, like, to the extent, like, because people compare him to Bray Wyatt, but Bray Wyatt is husky, but Bray Wyatt is big.
Mm-hmm.
He's like big overall. He moves fat. Like Kevin Owens is like, he looks tough, but he's not necessarily like a big dude. He's just like a fat dude. Look like he can fight.
Yeah.
But if you can educate the crowd that somebody like that can hang with John Cena and fight, then when Samoa Joe shows up, you don't have to do as much work.
Yeah, well, and that's well, that's what I was listening to. I was gonna say funny enough, but it's not, because I'm sure it was planned this way. But Kevin Owens is actually on Jericho's podcast this week, that came out Thursday, or was it today? I always skip the beginning of Jericho's podcast now, so I don't know what day they post. But they actually talked about that. He talked about his physique, and he's like, you know, they were having him do all these different weight training exercises, this regimen and that. And he goes, they're doing these like deadlift curls, whatever they're called, and I have no idea how to do this. He goes, I know Jericho even mentioned, you know, you're a big guy. You got broad shoulders. Your arms are pretty big too. And that's when like Owen stopped him and just said, you know, look, I know how to lift weights, but I don't know how to do it. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I know if I pick this heavy thing up enough times, my muscles get bigger. That's about it. And he very calmly like explained about wearing a singlet and that he just felt stupid. And then they were going to do pictures, and I can't remember the guy's name. One of the guys in NXT. First it was Enzo Amore. Told him, you know, go put your shirt on. Go put your Guns N' Roses shirt on when we're doing these pictures. Tear the sleeves off. It'll look badass. So he does that, and then, like, whoever was in charge of doing this made him turn the picture, made him turn the shirt inside out, you know, copyright. And then he just took some of Finn Balor's paint, painted the, I think it was KO, whatever, on it. And it looked so different than everybody else, it stuck. And that's been the same ever since. And he says that he feels way more comfortable that way.
Funny how that works. Like,
yeah.
Something so random and natural. And you hear that about wrestling all the time. Like, they do the package thing, and 8 times out of 10, it falls flat. When it's like, you know, why don't you just do this? And it's like a simple, you know, bootleg shirt with some paint on it, and it looks raggedy, but it fits. And he should look right. I mean, he should look rough and rugged. He's a rough and rugged guy. You shouldn't have him all polished up.
Yeah.
Like, it fits his character.
Well, and I hope this is a trend that continues. Not that I want to see guys wearing, like Dean Ambrose, I think, would do. I don't know what else to wear, because I guess everyone's kind of gotten used to him wearing jeans and a t-shirt. But there's got to be something else, because he doesn't seem like a jeans and t-shirt kind of wrestler.
I mean, you know what's funny? At least he's not wearing that R&B hoodie he used to wear. Like I say, he used to come out dressed like Aaliyah. He had that damn gray hoodie and those jeans. I'm like,
yeah.
We talked about it so many times, like last year and this year. Like, I know he's a great wrestler like that. I can't take this guy seriously just based on he's got on jeans and a sweat hoodie.
Yeah. Well, I think it also helps he has merch now to pimp. So he can wear his Ambrose shirt. He can wear his Ambrose sweatshirt now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those days are long gone.
Yeah, and I cracked jokes like Monday, that leather jacket he wore. I had that exact same leather jacket. Like, the exact. I took a picture on the thread Monday. People thought I was joking. I'm like, no. I got that from Wilson's Leather for like $90. The exact, like, the stripes, the little zips on there. I'm like, ain't this a. He shops the same places I shop at. So, good for him.
Yeah, well, or he borrowed somebody else's stuff. It was like, I'm just going to keep this for a while. He's getting that main event money now, so he can afford it.
So, but yeah. We always talked about how, you know, you don't want to have people look different. And they stand out in, like, a place. The whole joke before, like, everyone's, like, 6'3" with a crappy shoulder tribal tattoo, has a 4-pack and a stupid haircut. His name, Mike whatever. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I remember Jim Ross complaining about that years ago. How everyone's got the same haircut, the same tattoos, just like you said, the same, like, shiny shorts. Not even
everybody
trunks, but
yeah,
shorts.
Everybody was Mark Jindrak, basically.
Yeah,
that was that look.
Yeah, couldn't think of his name offhand. I knew it was Mark, but... so, yeah, it... Now, I mean, if you look at the roster now, the look is really diverse. But I didn't really notice it until Kevin Owens popped up. Because he's almost the... I mean, he's pretty much... And they didn't really brought this up, but he's the antithesis of John Cena. I mean, John Cena's ripped. He's got, like, that all-American look to him. You know, big chin, just muscular, never loses, never gives up, Mr. USA, all that stuff. And then you got Kevin Owens, the exact opposite. I mean, overweight, you know, scruffy, kind of like, well, not kind of, but it's smart ass and kind of evil too. But then you stop and you look and you're like, well, there's Bray Wyatt. Oh, well, he wrestles in white pants and now his own shirt with the sleeves cut off, but he's got his little bowler hipster hat. Seth Rollins, he wears that armor and then takes it off. Well, even Roman Reigns, he's wearing like a Mortal Kombat outfit still.
Yeah, like it's, people have different, like, Ryback has his RVD singlet, and Kane's wrestling in dress pants looking like a librarian.
Kane is just lazy. That one, I'm not giving him credit for that.
But you know what's funny? He's in, for how old he is and that look, he's in such good shape where he can get a pass. Like, if he was a slob, it would look ridiculous. But he's got, what, his mid-40s, late-40s?
I think he's 47.
Yeah, and he's in better shape than people in their damn 20s. Like, he's in, you got to be in shape to pull that look. If you're going to do that goofy-ass look, you got to be in shape.
He's 48 years old.
Yes, for him to be that old and walk around with almost a six-pack and dress pants, still wrestling, is like, yeah, God, I know they can't please retire, but God bless you, Kane. You getting those checks.
In your prominent position on the show, we've always talked about this. I don't know, whatever iteration of this show, it's always been, Kane's been around forever. He may not be the most popular guy. He may not be the most hated guy. But he's always there just enough to make you care about it. And he's getting paid.
Yeah,
and it's like, that's kind of the dream. Like, all right, you're in the main event for a month or two. Gotcha, boss. You're tag teaming with this guy, Daniel Bryan. I'll make it work. All right, boss, thanks. I mean,
he's been in either the main event or upper mid-card for almost 20 years.
Yeah.
That's a long time, and it's not like he had the Undertaker schedule where I wrestle once a year or once a season. Like, he's been on, he's had injuries here and there, but he's been on TV a long time.
Yeah, and almost relatively healthy too. When they take him off TV, it's to make movies for the most part. I mean, what was it, See No Evil, right?
Yeah.
And then See No Evil 2, which, when does that come out, or did it already come out?
I don't know if it came out yet. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. But, because I guess Leprechaun bombed, so they told Hornswoggle to get bent. You haven't seen him since that movie came out. And he lost his feud to El Torito as well, so that could be a problem. But, yeah, but getting back to the Kevin Owens part of it, though, you just haven't seen this since the WCW, since WCW, Monday Night Wars, ECW, all that stuff was around where a guy would jump, you immediately put him in. Chris Jericho got inserted into a feud with The Rock for that show.
And then he went down. He was feuding, like, mid-card. Like, it took him a while just to get up to, like, the level where he can feud with China.
Right.
Oh.
And I don't remember anybody jumping ship and immediately getting involved with the top guy. Maybe Booker T. But
yeah,
it's
been done, but even those people had the advantage, like, you knew who these people were, like, when
yes.
Big Show came over from WCW and, like, feuded, like, Austin and, like, Mankind, you knew he was, like, that's the giant, you knew he was. How many people on Raw knew who Kevin, like, how many people, the average person on Raw does not watch ROH, so, and he was on NXT for a few months, so, out of all the people to push general, and then from NXT, him.
Yeah.
Like, not Neville, not Sami Zayn, not, like, if I think you're going to push anybody like that, I would have guessed, like, Finn Balor.
Yeah.
Because I'm just thinking, like, when he gets there, he's going to be he's going to be something, like a Jeff Hardy without the drugs, as I like to call him.
Yeah.
So.
Oh. Yes, you're exactly, I'll skip that. But, yeah, I've learned my lesson commenting on the Hardy Brothers. But, but no, you're exactly right. Of all the guys in NXT, though, he was the last one. Not because he's not talented, but only because of the duration he's there. I mean, even Finn Balor and Hideo Itami, right? Yeah. They just call him Itami now, whatever. Kenta. They all signed within a 3-week period, or within 2 weeks of each other. They debuted before he did, so you would have thought maybe those two. Or even, what's the guy who only has a couple moves everyone loved and now they're turning on him? Is it Baron Corbin? No. The tall guy. He just fought Rhino at TakeOver.
Baron Corbin? Oh, I know you're talking about. I'm trying to remember if that's his name. Yeah. Used to be a guy that used to count how long it took him for him to beat.
Right.
Win the match.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was trying to figure out. I know it's not Bull Dempsey, that's for sure. But let's make sure. Yeah, that's him. Yeah. Yeah, maybe him. Not because of, you know, his current talent level, but just because of his look. And, yeah, but so, yeah, so him, just that just surprises me. And I mentioned this to Kevin, and I'm just trying to figure out if I don't think this is going to apply, but there was Daniel Bryan was, for whatever reason, a perceived, real or not, a perception that he was mismanaged, abused by management, whatever. And he comes up, and he was kind of like the internet darling, all right, just to put it in those terms. And Kevin Steen, you know, people had talked about him on the internet, but he had never reached the level of like a CM Punk or Samoa Joe as far as like fan fervor. So what I'm getting to is, can Kevin Owens be the next Daniel Bryan in that the crowd's going to eventually get behind him with like that serious, like, gnashing of the teeth, like they better do right by this guy?
No doubt. I mean, you can kind of see it now, like, even he's healing it up to like the nth degree, but you hear when John Cena talks about him, like, it's a sizable, like, when Kevin Owens come out, he gets booed, but there's a groundswell of people that are like cheering him, that like, because you know how you were describing it too, John Cena is Vince McMahon's idea of what a wrestler should look like.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens is, I want to say, Bill Watts' idea how a wrestler should look like. And, you know, more or less, like, I want some guy that looks like he can go into a bar, beat you up, take your girl, and finish drinking your beer. And it's fans that like that look because it's more – it's the whole thing. Like, fans can relate to, you know, they'll never be as athletic as Kevin Owens, but they feel like it's a better chance of me being Kevin Owens than John Cena. Like, I'm never going to bench press 450 pounds. I was laughing. John Cena put that tweet talking about, now you know I was kicking out at two.
Yes,
I bench press 450 pounds.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But it's something there. Like, they know the story, and then the whole fact that somebody like that would 5-6 years ago would have never had a shot on WWE TV. Yeah. And for whatever reason, and I know people don't like saying it, like, the reason is Triple H. He's getting a chance, and it's like, you know, I'm going to give you a chance. If you run with it, I'm going to let you run with it.
Yeah. And I think also part of my reasoning was also that Kevin Owens is relatable. Like, currently he's currently using his family as the impetus to be a dick to everybody. And he also and in that case, you can take that. It's a pretty timeless storyline. I'm doing this for my family. You know, and eventually they could include, you know, even if it's a fake family, that's fine too. Which I hope for his sake it would be, but whatever. And, but use that as like...
You don't want to see Dominic part two.
Oh, God. I just, you know, well, it doesn't help that his kid is a rampant John Cena fan. So it's like, all right, look, you got to root for daddy in this case. Like, no, because...
What's better heel heat than laying out your son because he's a John Cena fan?
You know how cool that would be? He comes over and he's about to like give John Cena a high five. He just like face palms the kid down to the mat. He's like, "What'd Dad tell you?" I don't know how you boo somebody for doing that. Actually, kid's not listening. Put him in their place.
Yeah, I'm like I said, this is in 1975. I'm sure that Kevin Owens would get booed. In most households, I'm sure it's a few that, you know, you get a high five.
Yeah, but I also think there's that part that could easily manipulate the audience, you know, to get people to cheer for him. But I'm not, I mean, I guess I'm getting away from the point I'm trying to, I'm actually working this out. because he's also, he looks relatable. He doesn't look like you just said, of, you know, Vince McMahon's idea for a wrestler. So I just wonder if, like, after this initial push, I mean, he's on the main roster now. And I guess this is all supposed, because, you know, in this business, like, we make money. But in the business of wrestling, there's no for sure, like, there's very little concrete information. Because even WWE's gone out of the way and shown that, you know, you can manipulate your data for your stockholders, which every company does, and, you know, it's just accepted. So it almost, like, after this year, or if he's not getting pushed as far as people think, is that when, you know, that swell of,
you want Owen's chance pop up?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or just like during the Divas match, they start chanting, fight Owen's fight. Or just whenever, to where they have to acknowledge it. And that's what I was trying to figure out, if something like that could happen with him, or if he's too dark of a character. Because Daniel Bryan, you know, once he grew out the beard and grew out the long hair, he became kind of goofy. And he became more relatable, because when he had that long hair and clean shaven, it was kind of like, look at this nerd. I mean, all right. And then he was a bad guy for a little bit. And I guess with Daniel Bryan going down, they need somebody else to get, like, a real groundswell of sustained and legitimate support.
It's going to be him or Zane. If it's going to be some Ozzy, they're going to be him or Zane. So, and I can see both, because look, CM Punk looks like a dirtbag. And look at it, and he acted like a dirtbag. And look at the support he got, just because they knew the whole story and everything like that. And, you know, you can get relate, thing like that.
Yeah.
There's plenty of people that can relate to, you know, they wish they was Kevin Owens. I wish I don't have to be all ripped and stuff, and I could still be a tough guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, trust me, when Sunday comes, it's going to be a lot of people living vicariously through Kevin Owens with their in their hands, wishing, because it's a better chance I could be Kevin Owens than John Cena.
Yeah.
In their eyes. So, yeah, to answer your question, like, I know he's a dark character, he's a prick. That hasn't stopped fans before. Like, you know, look what happened with CM Punk. He was a dirtbag when he dropped that little pipe bomb thing, and he was a heel. Like, he wasn't like, you know, like tween or anything like that. Like, he was a heel, a hated heel. You know, he was playing that old smarty arc heel, but he still get moved. But people, you know, you get some fans chanting CM Punk thing.
Yeah.
But as soon as he did that whole, you know, I'm saying everything people want to believe stuff, look how that changed.
Yeah. That was so long ago with CM Punk. He was a heel then, wasn't he?
Yes.
And he did that. You kind of forget that. Well, no, not kind of. I totally forgot
that. Yeah. I know a lot of people are like, oh, I don't see what the problem was, because he was saying true. I'm like, he was a heel, and he was running down baby faces. Like, John Cena at the time was a baby face. Triple H at the time was a baby. Like, he was running down Triple H and Vince McMahon and The Rock. They were all baby faces at that time. People tend to forget that part. Like, it's no, on TV, it wasn't like, oh, it wasn't no authority thing. It was like, you know, Steph's home. She wasn't even really an issue. She wasn't on TV at all. Triple H was still a baby face. Vince was beloved, and everyone loved The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
All the people he ran down were baby faces. He was a heel when he was a heel before that promo. He was acting heelish, but he was just saying stuff a lot of people wanted to hear. So
yeah,
that's when it became awkward. Like, all of a sudden, oh, I'm going to cheer for CM Punk, even though he's going to take the belt and leave.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, that was still a really good storyline. But anyways, we're not here to talk about CM Punk anymore. But the other thing, like, just on the breakout guys, on, like, the groundswell, because Hideo Itami, I think's got, or Itami, excuse me, has the hardest road ahead if he gets called up to the main roster.
The language.
Yeah, well, and also, he's a Japanese wrestler. Can you name a Japanese wrestler that's worked out for WWE?
In WWE, the closest. I mean,
Funaki.
If you're lucky, you might get to Jerry level where.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Jerry.
Tajiri was like, you know, Funaki was like, oh, he's cute and everything like that. Like, Tajiri had something there, but they was only going to push him so far because, one, he was Japanese. Two, he was old. And he didn't look like at the time he speaks I won't say good English, but decent enough English where he can be understood.
Yeah.
He got the look, and he has a style where it's easy to get behind, but his whole thing is going to be size is going to be an issue. Like, it's not an issue in NXT, but it's going to be an issue in WWE. Like, his size is going to be, especially you bringing him there, and it's going to be a whole bunch of people that's the same size as him. Not even talking about the people that's bigger than him. I'm talking about, you know, you're going to have Dean Ambrose and Neville and, you know, Seth Rollins and Zayn, and eventually, you know, gonna be a lot of guys that's on that size. Like, how you gonna stand out besides being Japanese?
Yeah, and the reason I mentioned him was because of everything. And then, but then, so he's got that against him. Finn Balor, he's got the cool paint. That's gonna get over pretty quick. If they, well, I know he doesn't do it every time, but the first time he does that, people will take notice. So you're gonna have like that almost not immediate support, but you're gonna get a delayed immediate support.
I'll tell you right now, if he's going to get over so big when they put him up, if they time it right and make it a big deal, because you can, this even, one, he has the whole indie cred thing from all the stuff he did in Japan. Mm-hmm. Two, kids are going to eat that
up. That's exactly it, yeah.
They are going, like, you saw how they, like, Rey Mysterio and Jeff Hardy, like, you see him coming in with, like, a comic book character with the paint and the lights, like he's gonna think it's the coolest thing in the world. And women had that whole, you know, why they love Jeff Hardy. He just seemed like, I just want to hug him, protect him. Finn's gonna be like the type where, you know, I should be scared, but it's just something about it, just want to be around. Like he check marks all the look, and he has a, you know, a decent enough face when he takes the paint off, like Wolverine's brother, where it works. Like all the check marks you can check off. Like, he's got a physical appearance, he's in shape, he can wrestle, he's got the indie cred, and he can talk.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you've got Tyler Breeze. I love that character. It's so obnoxious, but I wonder if that's going to be remember the Heartbreakers? And then they were the Heartbreakers? One of the two?
Breakers and Heartthrobs, yeah.
Yeah. That was a cool gimmick in OVW, and it just got destroyed when they got brought up. That's what I'm worried about with Tyler Breeze, because although I think his entrance would look pretty amazing on the Titantron, doing the selfie all the way down. I mean, I know they've got like a minimal size screen for, you know, NXT right now. But just seeing that on the Titantron would be a lot of fun.
Just see him being like Fandango 2.0. Like, it's,
I
just
hope
a.
Not.
I mean, because
I don't disagree.
Gimmick,
but yeah,
that gimmick is like it's got a shelf life. It's got, like, you know, you only can go. That's something where it works in a certain location. When you go on the main roster in front of like 9,000 people in, you know, Greensboro, how's that gonna get over? They're gonna be like, what, like, is this?
Or you're going to get that heat where it's like, look at this dick. And you just want to see him get smacked around. Like, there really hasn't been that kind of character.
Yeah.
Like, they kind of want, they sort of started that with Fandango. But the name itself is ridiculous. So you could never take him seriously. Tyler Breeze, you're like, all right, he's a model. I mean, you know, I know the obvious comparison is going to be Rick Martel, but, you know, they don't.
He's just, no, I would give him credit like this. Fandango always seemed like he was trying too hard. Like, one, he's supposed to be like this Latin playboy thing, but it's still Johnny Curtis.
Yeah.
Who can't dance, who doesn't look Latin. That's just, like he's, you can tell he's trying
to
play.
He can't dance. How dare you?
I mean, it's like he's this guy that's trying to play this character, and it just shows. And it's like, you know, kudos to him, but you can see it. Tyler Breeze is like a natural dickhead. Like, everything about him, like, he doesn't like he's trying to be hateable. It's like he's just being himself, and it's just naturally hate. Like, the little duck face and the tights and, like, everything about him. Like, you know why I know it works to a certain extent? Because every time I see him on TV, I just frown my face. And I know it's probably every single time. Like, well, somebody's punch him in his mouth.
Yeah. I have the exact opposite reaction. He always cracks me up. I had never heard of a selfie stick before. So when he came out to the one event, I can't remember which one it was, one of the NXT specials, he came out with a selfie stick. I lost my head laughing. I was like, look at this arrogant little guy. I was cracking up. And then when they said, yeah, it's a selfie stick, I was like, he named it a selfie stick. Like, that's hilarious. Now, it was tempered a little bit once I found out that was a real thing. But it was it fit perfectly after that. It was like, oh my goodness.
You know what's funny about that? After I saw him with it, I remember one day I was out with Cam, and I saw people using that, and that's the first time I've seen it. And I'm sure it's been out before, but maybe I just didn't notice it. Now every time I say, I can't stand it.
I've never seen one in public use.
I have seen it in public. People actually use it in public. I went somewhere and it was like, let's take a picture, and they bust out the selfie stick. I'm like, Jesus Christ! I'm 36 years old. This is my life is coming to.
Wow.
Let me bend down so I can get inside the picture, because it's only 4 feet on the stick. They're trying to take a picture with nine people on it. So, yeah, yes.
There's a reason it's called selfie. It was only supposed to be you to begin with. So as soon as you add a stick to it and you put your camera away from you, you're just taking a picture. So you just call it a picture stick. You know, to be, well, now that's pickup sticks, to go way back to the 50s. Archaic form of entertainment. Did you ever think about that? That was an actual game they sold. Someone busted up a bunch of sticks, put it in a tube container, and they sold it for kids. I was like, this is a new game. You drop them on the floor and you pick it up.
I mean, sorry, but like, some of the stuff like stick, like, okay, you know the game called baseball. We're gonna make it twice as difficult and half as fun. We're gonna take a ball, cut it in half. And give you a broomstick. Now go and have fun. I'm like, if somebody took a basketball and cut it in half and put dirt in it, I'm gonna go dunk. No, I'm not doing that. But that was a thing. So
yeah, it's like throwing their ball at the wall, thinking there's a hoop there. Like, okay, yeah, this is entertaining. Yeah, at least that whole that goofy thing with the stick with the wheel, and you had to like. Run with the wheel, like the stick inside the wheel from like the 1600s or whatever. Oh, I'm sorry. That's what my people did. I'm sorry. See, the people. Jesus Christ. I don't know what you guys were doing in the bush and all that, but us civilized folk, we were out there taking sticks and running with wheels. I don't know who had it better, actually. So.
I doubt it was you.
Yeah. But. All right. So, you gave a perfect segue earlier, but we kept going. When you said that Fandango was or Johnny Curtis was playing at being Latin and being a dancer. Because we've got a company that's pretending to be a wrestling company, and another one that's been a wrestling company for a long time who's basically been in the same position the entire time. And now they're both on the same network. Nobody saw this coming, except for ROH, apparently, because they were the ones that negotiated this. And now Wednesday nights are just overstuffed with wrestling starting next Wednesday.
Yeah. I'm going to be perfectly honest. Like, one, I didn't see it coming. Two, I don't even care. I mean, I get it's a big thing, and at first it was kind of like, you know, are they going to kick TNA, not going to have a home? But it's like, why would Destination America choose kick TNA to curb to get ROH? Like, I from a business standpoint, maybe it's cheaper for them, but how much was it costing them to have TNA to begin with? Like, I just, from a money standpoint, maybe it's just something I'm missing from a entertainment standpoint. For all the things we joke about, probably about TNA, it's not like going to ROH is like a upgrade. Like, at least if you're a regular wrestling fan, you could watch TNA and see maybe three or four people you heard of. Like, you know, I may not know who Magnus is if I never watched TNA, but I know who Mickey James is. I've seen Bobby Lashley before, and like MVP and Kurt Angle. ROH, like, Briscoes, the fucking Young Bucks, like Jay Lethal. I'm like, all the good people from ROH are on NXT or WWE right now. Yeah. So,
well, here's the thing. TNA, Dixie Carter, whatever, they are called TNA still, even though the show's Impact Wrestling. So I'm going to just keep calling it TNA. But, you know, it's been reported, and again, it goes back to what's true and what's not, but it's been reported that, and even Destination America, I think, even confirmed it, that they were putting their money into helping TNA cover overhead, covering costs of the show, you know. So, from their standpoint, I would assume that they looked at ROH going, well, Sinclair Broadcasting owns them. They've been running this thing, and they've been putting out weekly television with no issue for years now. I mean, not years, what, 2 years probably that the Sinclair deal's been going on?
Well, at least two, maybe three, like years. If it's more than a year, you can say years.
Okay. Whoops, I'm trying to just look up the exact time. But then you look at TNA, and ROH pretty much has no stink on it. Now, you can say that it's got no heat as well, and that's okay, because really, the production values on an ROH show are pretty minimal, and that's being nice. They're one step above having bad production, because there's not the money involved. But also, ROH doesn't have that failure tag on it. No one's rooting against, nobody in as a wrestling fan is rooting against ROH, where it seems like the overwhelming majority are rooting for TNA to go out of business. Doesn't matter if it makes sense or not. But for years now, you see, if TNA makes a mistake on something, it's like, ugh, just go out of business. Just get this over with already. Whether or not that means they're rooting for them, or if they just know the inevitable is coming. So I can look at it from Destination America's point of view, especially if you're a television network and your wrestling program, which has only been on since January, I believe, already has a do not advertise label on it. People just aren't advertising during it. You bring in this other product and you go, all right, guys, look, this is, we know what you've heard, but look at this product instead. You don't have a guy getting out there, whether you agree with it or not, but you don't have a guy yelling nigger on your TV show. You don't have all these other like adult themes. You don't have man on woman violence. At least I don't think ROH does, so I'll have to back off that, I guess. But you don't have all of these controversial buzzword heat-seeking elements with ROH that TNA does.
Yeah, as long as you're not showing the Briscoes.
That's where I guess I've got kind of an ignorance to that. Because I know the Briscoes were always like out there. And Mark Briscoe.
Yeah. It's a reason why WWE won't touch him with a 10-foot pole. It has nothing to do with their look or their talent. So I'll let you fill in the blanks with that. Yeah.
Well, I
know. All that stuff you talked about with TNA and everything is accurate. You could say the exact same thing about, well, one of them won't even talk. So it's the one that talks. You can say the same thing about the Briscoes. It's kind of like, you can't put that on, you know, national TV. Not, okay. Somebody did it like 1984 when, you know, you was calling people maggots and diehard, that. You can't do that. Yeah. You can't do that today. So,
oh, you know what? No, I'm sorry. You jarred my memory. Yeah, that's right. They were getting into, they didn't do anything racial, did they? It was all basically homophobia with them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what I thought. But yeah, and you know what? Then I guess my point kind of got blown up on that because I didn't remember, because that was in even the picture I had for this post was Destination America promoting Ring of Honor with both of the Briscoes and Jay Lethal. So it's like, oh, brother.
Yeah, like, but, I get the other part you say, like the whole thing, like, ROH doesn't have the stink TNA had, like the stink of failure. Like, I never understood how TNA's, you know, their parent company is like a billion-dollar energy company, but you complain like we can't make payroll or my check bounce.
Right.
Like, at least Paul Heyman had an excuse; he was poor. Like, what's like Panda Energy's like Dixie? I don't know. It's like, okay, Dixie, you only getting a certain amount of allowance, but it's kind of like, you know, TNA's. It's just embarrassing to hear a company like TNA having money issues. That's like, you know, somebody saying on Grant, like ESPN telling somebody on Grantland, oh, well, we're not making, not getting a check this week.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't doubt if that was part of it. I mean, and it also doesn't help when the owner of TNA sends out an email bashing the president of Destination America and then doesn't show up for a meeting as well. But I think that TNA, like, I just think the stink of it, and maybe, and just like, you know, it made me aware of it, maybe Destination America officials don't know the history or the backstory of the Briscoes either. Especially because, and if they were just somebody on that show, then you can kind of give it a pass. If they're curtain jerkers that are on every couple weeks, but these are like, one's the champion of the company. So, you can't make that. Jay Briscoe is the champion, right? There still is?
I have no idea who's the champion.
Yeah.
So.
Hmm.
I mean, but it's like, it's a reason why WWE hasn't touched them, and that's.
I know they were negotiating with them, and they supposedly chose ROH over WWE. Well, now, again, true or not, I don't know. Because I remember Ring of Honor making a big deal out of that.
Yeah, because it makes them look good. Like, you know, yeah. The big time, but they aren't the Dudley Boys. They want to stay home. It's like, I'm sure WWE might have made some calls, but they weren't going to get up. If, put it this way, if they wanted to get the Briscoes would be in NXT right now getting ready for the main roster.
True. Yeah, they would have made it worth their money. But I guess the and you can fill in the joke here, but apparently the Briscoes have their own side business as well that would have interfered if they would have gone to NXT.
Yeah. I can understand it.
But yeah,
you can't get away, especially now people have the internet, and if there's a certain company that's in the spotlight, people are going to ask questions. Like,
mm-hmm.
that's the downfall of being a publicly trained company. You have some conference call and some jackass living in Connecticut saying, oh, I looked here at Dave Meltzer's website, and there's some tag team you got that's homophobic. It's 2015. What you got to say about that, Vince?
Yeah.
I even deal with that.
And you're like, well, you know, what else are you supposed to call him? Everyone, the overwhelming majority of people, now it's turned from Wednesday when it was announced till now is, oh my God, Wednesday's going to be the best night of wrestling on TV. If you're a wrestling fan, Wednesday's must-see TV. Well, if that was the case, wouldn't Lucha Underground have higher ratings? I understand that they have a smaller penetration in the market. Yes, I'm continuing the word penetration from the show on Tuesday. TNA does not get the viewers that they used to. Really, just period. NXT is on WWE Network. You can watch that whenever. And then you've got ROH, an unproven commodity, with, as you said, a bunch of guys. You don't know who they are.
I think the idea is if you put all of these shows where all these niche products on one night and they all bring each other up. You know, like if you throw like a bunch of throw four different bricks into a bathtub of water, the water's going to rise.
Yeah.
Together. And it's kind of like, you know, the type of wrestling fan that stays home on Wednesday that watch NXT on a Wednesday night and watch Lucha Underground, it's like, okay, I have set time frame, all these shows on the same night, I can watch all the shows and relax instead of like watching NXT and maybe Lucha on Wednesday and then hunt and watch TNA one day. And ROH on this day, like, I would be more likely to watch these shows on one day because it's one day, and I don't have to search them. I don't know if I just it's on these channels this time. I got this time frame. I can even watch in the background. If it's like three or four shows on different days, I mean, I watch any of them.
I was trying to think. how do you fit in all those shows? Even if they're all on the same day, or just like you said, if they're all on different days, you've got, and Kevin broke this down, he's like, you've got 3 hours on Monday. You get the day off Tuesday. Now all of a sudden you're supposed to watch Ring of Honor at 7, I think 7 o'clock, or is it 8 o'clock, whatever it is. You have an hour show, and then you have TNA for 2 hours. At the last hour of TNA is the first hour of, or is the only hour of Lucha Underground, and then NXT. The next day, you've got 2 more hours of WWE.
Yeah, and then if you're going to watch New Japan.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's, like, it's a lot of damn wrestling. And something I mean, I'll be honest. Like, my wrestling thing now, I watch Raw. I watch NXT sometimes. I've recorded Lucha Underground. I haven't got around to watch it. I watched New Japan once. I don't watch ROH. I watch TNA sometimes because just, and this is, and the only reason I would be able to watch some of these shows is because a lot of the shows you watch normally aren't on right now. Like when the fall come,
forget it. That's where I was going next. Yeah.
Fall comes, I'm watching Raw and NXT when it's a special. Where everybody else can, unless there's something going on that's special about it. Because it's just it's only so many hours in a day. And, you know, I got a job. I got stuff to do. Like, I can give you an hour. I can give you two. I can't just give 4 hours on a weeknight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I work 11, sometimes 12 hours a day. Go to the gym and then, you know, try to make time to watch all the different shows. And especially upcoming this fall. Well, they're not going to be at the same. I guess it's not exactly.
I mean,
true,
like, look at an example. Like, let's just say Wednesday. Like, okay. Like, I'm gonna watch Arrow.
Yep.
It's, like, if you got the choice of watching one ROH or Arrow, I'm watching Arrow. Like, at least Tuesday is not an issue because Flash and Shield's on. But it's gonna be some days if it's some show on that I like, watch the show first, and I just get the rest if I get to it. And if I don't get to it, oh well, I'll try to get to it next week.
Yeah, and. That's why I like. I know they probably can't with the NBC deal or Universal deal, but I would love if SmackDown and Raw were on the network as well. Even if they put Raw on like a Wednesday or something, well, you know, not live, but you know, for streaming purposes, if they put it on say Tuesday night sometimes, and that way it would free up Monday because I'm starting to. At first, I didn't understand on-demand programming. Like, why the hell am I going to want to watch something on my phone? But now, or my tablet, but now it's becoming much more convenient. Especially for stuff that's not a priority. And any wrestling on a Wednesday or a Thursday is not a priority in any way, shape, or form. And even, you know, with Monday Night Raw's quality, that really hasn't been much of a priority as well. Except for the last few weeks, I've actually watched the whole show through without turning it off. But once football starts up, it's going to be, you know, it'll be hard-pressed not to flip around again. So I don't know if it's an improvement in quality or if it's that my choices are limited now. But I can't see how this is going to work because TNA can't get along with themselves. The company as a whole. I can't see them not allowing, because they're contractually obligated until apparently September, which Dave Meltzer finally released the memo he got, and it seems pretty concrete to me that TNA is gone come September, unless they worked out some other new deal that he's not aware of and none of us are. So I wonder if Destination America, and I know Sinclair Broadcasting still owns Ring of Honor, but I wonder if that's just their money grab as kind of a fuck you to TNA. Like, we've got a new program now. We can have it advertised. We can get advertisers for it, and we can actually give them money knowing this is still kind of a growing product with no, you know, no bad history behind them. This company doesn't have a wife-beater past like yours does of consistently beating themselves up all the time.
Yeah, like TNA is their biggest enemies themselves. It's like they've been around for a long time, and you have bits and pieces where they, history is, you know, we'll do something, we'll be right for 3 or 4 months, and then we'll shoot ourselves in the foot and be bad for 9 months. And then we'll get somebody else in, and we'll have a run here, and then something will go, like, that's their history.
Yeah.
A few months of, you know, bright lights and a whole bunch of dark. After a while, it's kind of hard to get over that. Like, you can call yourself Impact Wrestling, but even the name is like, I told my wife when I'm watching TNA, and she even just looked. I'm like, yeah, that's still a thing.
How they haven't gotten around to changing that, it can't be that difficult. Especially with all their branding of Impact Wrestling. You know, Impact Wrestling's not the greatest name, whatever. It's way better than TNA. Or just keep calling it Total Nonstop Action Wrestling.
You know the reason why, because when wrestling companies do best, it's the reason why people use initials. Because it's easy to remember initials. Like, you know, when NWA became WCW, it's easy because it's calling it three different letters. It's still WCW. Yeah. It's easy to say that. Like, WWF became WWE. Like, you can be, New Japan's the exception. But that's easy, because it's easy to say New Japan to NGPW.
Yes.
That doesn't roll off the tongue.
Yep.
TNA, unfortunately, rolls off the tongue. Impact Wrestling does not. Total Nonstop Action.
Yeah. Like,
many damn letters. They need something you can chant. You can't chant. I guess you could chant Impact Wrestling, but it's easy to chant TNA.
Yeah.
For one reason.
Well, I think we take for granted the TNA name. Like, we acknowledge, oh, TNA. But if you put that out to the layman, or, you know, lay person, and you go, oh, I'm watching TNA wrestling, they're like, what? What are you watching? Like, well, none of my friends would do that. They'd be like, whoa, really? What's that? But, like, you tell your parents, like, yeah, I'm watching TNA wrestling. And it's like, wait, what? What kind of wrestling's that? Like, ugh, no, it's just a horrible name for a company.
Well, Mom, it's not what you think.
Yeah, and that's a stigma, but I mean, hey, you know. So, I just think there's more to this. And I really do think that they got sick of TNA, or they got tired of dishing out money for something that they can't make money off of. The money that they give them, they're not making back in advertising. So now they can try and see if someone will advertise during ROH, which they're going to have to... I don't know where they're going to get the money, but they're going to have to clean up their production budget as well. I mean, just, and as Jim Ross would consistently point out, light the show better. And
it's this, all this shows is how I think people underestimate WWE.
Yes.
It's kind of like, you know, people say, oh, Vince is a moron and he's behind the times. And I always say, all those things you can be said is true. But I always point out the two things. All these smart people that run wrestling so much better than Vince all went bankrupt. Two, I just went to San Jose, some state-of-the-art stadium with 60 to 75,000 people, and they part of the show was seeing one of the biggest movie stars in the world and probably the most popular UFC fighter in the world get in a ring with his daughter, and no one have an issue with that.
Yep.
TNA can't even make payroll. ROH is, you know, they got hillbillies with a dog fighting farm or whatever's going on. You know, like Lucha Underground, that's cool, but it's like somebody's backyard.
Yeah. Well, I think at least in Lucha Underground's case, they know what they are.
Yeah.
They are a strict television program. Currently, they're a strict television program. Like, they're waiting to get picked up for a season 2. So at least they understand what they are. I'm sorry to cut you off, but it's like you mentioned... Like, you were at Levi Stadium or whatever. I think that's Levi Stadium, right? And you've got the daughter of the company. That's the biggest event they run. They ran NXT Friday night.
Yeah.
They packed an arena to watch old men accept an award for a fake Hall of Fame. TNA can't run house shows.
NXT can.
Yeah. The place where they're like, all right, look, these guys are new. Wait, there's 5,000 people here to watch guys that...
It's probably more. It's probably close to 6,000. I'm like at $35 a pop at 10 o'clock at night Pacific time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know who I was listening to, but they said it was about 5,000 people were there. But I mean, regardless, 5 or 6, for an offshoot brand that's only seen over here, at least, on a network you have to pay for, that's crazy. And you've got a company in TNA that can't run a simple house show. That really does show you how we can take WWE for granted. Now, and I'm not saying it's all Vince McMahon's doing, how successful they are anymore. He's got his vision. I have no doubt about that. The reason they're there is because of him, by hook or by crook. But now I think he's got enough people around him, especially in Triple H. And Stephanie, too. I mean, I don't think her contribution should be diminished at all. That are probably, you know, a little back and forth butting of the heads, but I think it's for the betterment of the company, where you have TNA that has a sole owner and then a bunch of people running around saying, I'm running the ship. Because they're running around, not because they're actually staring at anywhere.
Yeah, like they have enough, I think they have enough support system where he can be, even though he probably would never be, he can be more hands off and trust right. That things will work the way it does. Where other companies is kind of like, you don't even trust the people that are running. So you got the person that has the hand on that's driving around to a damn cliff.
Yeah. And, screw it. We don't really talk wrestling too much. So, I was going to try and wrap the show up, but I want to actually put this to you. You see these documentaries, or you read names of behind-the-scenes people for WWE. You got Michael Hayes, regardless of their personalities, their personal, you know, accountability, okay?
Yeah, you sound like you're talking in the Matrix right now.
Well, because you've got Michael Hayes, you've got... you messed me up with that. Dusty Rhodes. And Billy Gunn, you know, he was part of a popular thing. You've got all of these, what you could call legends, helping out as agents or people or underrated people. Helping out as agents, helping out as trainers and developmental or behind the scenes on the big show. And then you go to TNA, and who do they have? They got the guy from Tough Enough. You know, the fat red hair guy. Yeah, Billy Corrigan, who, despite being a wrestling fan and, you know, running a wrestling promotion, not a whole lot of experience. You got Al Snow, who the only reason he was over was because he had a head. He had a mannequin head. Who else does TNA have?
That's about it. Like, yeah. Lil Brown's not there anymore.
Nope. Cornette's not there.
Yeah.
Dutch Mantel, he's in WWE now. I mean,
it's just the nature. That's one of the big things. Kind of like, even a small thing like WWE making an announcement saying, you know, Albert's the new head coach of NXT and Sarah Del Rey is the assistant coach. Like,
yeah.
There's something simple like that. It's kind of like, you know, we want people that'll train our future. You know, like Albert's. People crack jokes. He's been around for a long time. He's wrestled here. He's wrestled overseas, so he can tell you about the WWE style. He can tell you about people gonna respect him because you know he's got tenure, and it's no mistake why Divas matches in NXT get over so much. It's kind of like you got one of the best, if not the best, female wrestler skill wise teaching them. I mean, no disrespect to Finley, but Finley did a good job too when he was doing it, but. Who's gonna teach a woman how to wrestle better than like right now than like Sarah Del Rey?
And it's funny because I remember
I didn't mean to cut you off. I remember when they first hired her and the whole outcry was like, oh, they hiring her, but she's never gonna wrestle. What a waste! Why are they having a ring? And look at it now. You don't even hear that anymore.
You still hear, and I actually think of it too though. You still hear like, when are they gonna give her a chance? You know, like, as a fan of hers, I still kind of hope that they give her something someday. If she even wants that, she could be perfectly fine just being the trainer now. Because, I mean, I guess, like, when you can't play anymore, you go into coaching if you want, and you get the same exhilaration from watching the success of your players. But I think that's also a coup on WWE's part by taking arguably the best female wrestler of the last 20 years. And you go, all right, look, you're not our body type. You're not what we look for, but you can make a good living training people. You're still in the ring doing stuff. Yes, you're not getting that thrill of the crowd, but you're still involved. You're still doing something you want to do. And have them agree to that. And maybe it's the machine behind it that convinces her to say, yeah, that's a good idea. Where you have guys in TNA go, hey, I can't get a job anywhere else, so I'm going to, you know, hey, I'm going to put my name out for TNA, see what happens. There's a difference there. And I think that's why TNA has been, I'll say, a failure for the most of their existence. Just, they don't have that system, going back to, you know, taking WWE for granted. Even at its lowest points, the stories may not be that good, but some of their production value will be better. There's always something there that shows you that they're the top game, period. But, so Wednesday's going to be pretty busy. Yeah, not on my DVR, though. But
I don't mind either, so these for somebody. Like, I didn't watch ROH before. I'm not going to pretend to watch it now just because it's on the same day as TNA. It's not like I was watching TNA a whole lot.
Exactly what I was about to say is I don't care about TNA. I haven't watched it much. I mean, I've given it a glimpse here and there, but nothing since I took it off my DVR. I will admit, I will check out probably not ROH immediately because I know they've already recorded. Oh my god, they've already, you know, got those in the can. So maybe once they record for these Destination America shows, that maybe I'll give it a chance, see if they do anything special, see if they take advantage of it and bump up the quality of the show, because good wrestling is always fun to watch. So if they can do it, I want to be on board with it. But so yeah, but that's the longest I think we've ever talked about TNA. And I literally mean ever. Either on the show or off of it.
Let's hope we don't repeat that unless Kurt Angle dies or something. So.
Oh, Jesus. I was going to say when they go out of business. But then again, we could just splice this up and just put it out as a show. Be the exact same thing.
Yeah, TNA, when they go out of business, TNA, we hardly knew you.
Yeah.
That'll be the end of that. So.
Yeah, because we stopped watching a long time ago.
That's one thing on, like, we watch stuff. TNA's not stuff. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dixie.
All right, man. Well, let's wrap this up. I always love ending a show on a downer note like this. I'm just exhausted. Where if we would have started with this and then got into the Kevin Owens stuff, I'd be like, dude, that was a great show. That was a good conversation. Yeah. Now I'm just thinking.
Well, like I say, it's one of those special episodes like Law & Order SVU where the bad guy gets away at the end. Like, just granny.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Oh, well, all right. Well, real quick, literally real quick, how did you like San Andreas? Because my mom just got out of it.
Okay. It was perfectly acceptable. Like, it was a fun movie. It didn't reinvent the wheel, but it was fine. I like two things I'll say. One, people made sense, which you don't see in a lot of these movies. Like, for the most part, like, they use common sense, even though they were kind of selfish as can be, but in a good way. And two, Rock is just likable.
Yeah.
Even though I just have an issue, and I've noticed that later, I was making a joke with Cam. Like, I don't know how The Rock and Carla Gugino have a baby and it looks like Alexander. Like, how does Black and Samoan plus Italian come out the Greek? I don't know what Hollywood's trying to push, but whatever. And it was uncomfortable seeing her play like a high school senior, knowing she's 29 and she's built like she's 29.
Yes.
Yeah, that was kind of like, at first I almost felt like I felt kind of gawking at a teenager showing her cleavage, but then I remember this is a grown-ass woman. She's almost 30 years old. It's not my fault they got her playing like she's 17.
Yeah, well, I did read one review where it said, as The Rock gets closer, like as he's going to find his daughter, she loses more clothing or something. Like... I was like, oh, all right. Well, I've seen True Detective, so I know how it turns out anyways. So,
yeah, so I didn't even realize she was in True Detective until I read about that. Although I remember her from those Percy Jackson movies.
that's why when she was on True Detective, I was like, is this happening? Is this really happening? This is happening. So,
yeah. So,
yes.
So I would say definitely, you know, I mean, it's better than Into the Storm, which was a good movie. It's smarter than those. I mean, that's faint praise, but it's still
that's
praise.
Very faint praise.
It's better than those Roland Emmerich disaster movies.
That's the other thing I've heard a lot, too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All right. Well, okay. Elise staunchly said she's not going to see that, so that's okay. But I'll get my mom's opinion here in a second. So they called me while we were doing this, so I'll see how she liked it. And I'm sure my dad's reaction will be, well, it had good special effects. So we'll see how it goes. But so anyways, there's a little movie stuff for you guys too. It is a Friday if you've listened to this, so gonna get out of here. Thanks for putting up with another edition of Stunt Granny Audio. You can follow us on Twitter, Stunt Granny, really any social media, Stunt Granny. If you like Hoarders, they brought it back, and I've been doing my first live tweeting on my own account under Granny Maze. Some people seem to get a kick out of it, which I was pretty surprised about. And you're FarmMD, right? No, God, that'd be awesome if you were FarmMD.
Yeah. I'm just sorry. Like, it is so hard to hear you right now.
Oh, no, really?
Like, for the past, that's why it's like the past 15 minutes is like you're in the Matrix. Like, it's like that's what's going on. So I don't know. I don't know if it's the mic. Like,
well, you've got DSL, and I have Time Warner Cable. So between the two, we're lucky we can hear anything.
Yeah,
so
I guess we'll find out how the show sounds. But it was fine for like the first 45, 50 minutes, and then from like the 50-minute mark, it's just been, yeah.
So essentially when we started talking about TNA, everything went to shit for you.
Thanks, Dixie.
Cool. Well, on that note, let's get out of here. I'll just sign out since he can't figure out what I'm saying anyways. So let's talk about him, huh? All right, guys.
For Jerry Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and never talk about TNA in front of your parents. We are out.